They give you stimulants. Because what happens is when you're giving a stimulant, you're spinning the brain. Picture a top. Have I done the top analogy for everybody? You take a top and you spin it. The faster that top goes, the more focused it is. The slower that top goes, the more all over the place it is. So as you spin that top is activity, exercise, doing things. This here, in focusing, is spinning your top. Doing this with the fidget cube is spinning. What I mean by spin the top, you need input into the brain. You need stimulation of the brain in order to stay focused. Because you have a machine for a brain, like Niagara Falls. You have an enormous amount of energy. But without the hydroelectric plant, you can't harness it. So you have this energy in this brain, and this is what ADD is. It's just a brain that just is on supercharge, and it wants to make you go in all of these directions, right? So it wants you to go over here, and then it'll make you go over here. This is another classic example of something that happened to me. So me and my wife were working in the yard. We're working in the yard. We're in the garage, and I'm like, oh, shoot, I need to go to the backyard because I need to get something, you know, because I had my quad and I had a ratchet. So I need to go to the ratchet. I saw that, like, the earlier day that I forgot to mow an area of the yard. So I went into the shed. I got my mower and I started mowing the yard, right? And I'm mowing and I'm mowing and I'm mowing. And then I stop mowing and I'm like, oh, my God, that looks beautiful over there. I'm going to go rake over there now. So then I'm raking over there. My wife comes back. She's like, where'd you go? I had just mowed, raked, and I forgot to get the ratchet. And because our brain, without direction, will be all over the place. You'll do so many different things if you're not self-disciplined about thought. And a child doesn't have that structure or those breaks. And a lot of adults don't. That's why we're driven to addictive personalities and addictive things. So I put this example up here. What's the difference between starting at the top of the hill and going down on a sled or a bobsled?
One's a track,
right? So you know exactly where you're going to end up here. Here, you're going to just end up down somewhere. Here, picture the track or the walls as structure. Okay? So the structure meaning this. We're going to do an exercise. Basically, at the end of this, which is going to be your homework, is going to be you're going to write your eulogy. You're going to basically write what you want people to remember you as when you're gone. And then there's going to be a second component to this because I want you to understand that right now where we are is an issue because we're never happy with where we are. But we need to have present time consciousness and look back and say, wow, we've come a long way. Be appreciative, live in appreciation, not fear. And say, well, if I could have talked to myself knowing what I know now as a child, what can I do talking to myself now as, you know, 30 years from now? Does that make sense? And if we start in a car and we just say, I'm going to drive west. In 4 days, where are we going to end up? Somewhere, maybe, right? We're going to go west somewhere. Maybe we'll end up in California. Maybe we'll end up in Washington. But we, in time, in 4 days, end up somewhere. Versus saying, I'm going to drive to Scottsdale, Arizona. So you have a direct path. If you veer off course, you can come back on course, and you know exactly where you're going to go. When I was in school, when I was in high school, I was a B, C student, right? And it's not because I think my GPA was like 3-2-9, 3-1, I don't even remember, something like that. And it wasn't because I wasn't smart. It's just because I didn't know what I wanted to do, right? I didn't have any direction. Once I figured out what I wanted to do, and I got, and in undergrad, I got my exercise science. I was exercise science, exercise physiology. Then I got my nutrition minor. Once I knew that, I almost didn't have to study anymore, and I got it. I was all A's from that point on. Through chiropractic school, you know, I did very, very well. I never studied for any of my part one, part two, part three boards. I remember me and my wife went to a wedding before the most important boards of my life, which was part four boards. And I went out drinking while everybody was studying. And I said, listen, if I'm not smarter than the average, then I don't deserve to be in practice. It's because once your brain is engaged in something and knows what the direction it is, a conscious direction based on where you want to go, that's why your next class is about purpose and about biology of belief. You become, you know, instead of your one horse going this way and one horse going this way and becoming underdeveloped, you can go enthusiastically in the wrong direction, you know. Right? You could be so happy but go in the wrong direction if you're not thinking about it. We want one horse to go this way, the other horse to go this way, and then you become way more productive. And then how do we turn those principles in and then build those into our child's life? Because a child, it's very difficult to say, oh yeah, what do you want to be in life to a 10-year-old? They don't know. So you need to build the structure. You need to build the bobsled course through life to give them the tools that you're going to start to go through in these next 5 weeks. 6 weeks. And then this is Ned's really, this is one of his best analogies that I think people really connect to. Is having executive functioning disorder, and I'm going to start going into the neurology of the brain right now so it kind of explains it a little bit better for you, Robin. But having executive function disorder is like this. Having a race car for a brain and bicycle brakes, right? Which means you have this machine, but when I go over to my thing and I pull out my shirt and I just put the other one on top and walk away, I have bicycle brakes. You have to develop those brakes. The brakes are the things that say, oh yeah, shoot. That's right. I don't want to be a fight again. And listen, I need to be respectful of, you know, I don't have maids in my house. Some people might, but I need to fold my clothes, put it there. That's building the brakes. And that's building what's called the prefrontal cortex. And we're going to explain how we do that. And how and why and what this course is going to do to help get you there. Good? All right. So let's do this. I really wish people would start to, instead of thinking about ADD and ADHD as a disorder, look at it as a strength, because it is a strength. We just need to understand how to deal with that strength. Most CEOs of companies have ADD. Presidents have ADD. You'll be able to recognize it now in 2 seconds when somebody's standing in front of you, if they have it or not. I changed my conversation in my entire report of findings in each room based on who I'm talking to, right? So, I mean, it's totally, once you start to recognize this, there are different personality types. How many people are familiar with personality types? The easiest epigram is there's a driver, there's a expressive, there's an analytical, and then amiable. So the driver is the guy that's like, let's go, go, go. Oh, where do you want to go? You want to go right now? Okay, we're going right now. Come on, let's go. And somebody's waiting. Nope, they'll just drive everybody. Their energy wants to run the show. Okay. The expressive guys, like, hey, listen, they want to tell you, like, they caught a fish. It wasn't this big. It's this big. They're the life of the party. You know, they're like, hey, what's going on? They're the happy-go-lucky guy. They talk. They want to tell you their whole life story. The amiable, they're the golden retriever, right? They're a little quiet at the beginning. And then you get to know them. They're like your best friend. Like, hey, they're reliable. They're great people, but they're, you know, a little bit shy and reserved at the beginning. And the analytical, Those people love the numbers. You know, they want, you know, if it's, listen, don't explain how it's going to affect my life. I want to see what my core score is. How are you going to increase the core score? What are we going to get? We want all of the, you know, they want all the steps to get there. So when we're looking at, you know, personality types, typically the personality types, obviously that type A personality are the people with ADD. And when we look at some of the negatives, people are looking at distractibility, impulsivity, and hyperactivity. Those are some of the traits, regardless on that, with these executive functioning issues. Well, if we look at distractibility, that's curiosity. If you're distracted, you're just curious about stuff. You're curious about life. You're curious about things. If we look at impulsivity, what do you think a positive impulsivity would be? Creativity, right? When you're impulsive, you're really, really creative. I mean, your mind thinks about something, and you'll make something happen. You're a creative individual by nature. Like you, as a problem comes about, you're going to solve it. You're going to figure out how to solve it. You're a problem solver. And then when you're looking at hyperactivity, that's energy. That is a really good thing to have, is energy. The problem is how that energy, if not managed correctly, and you manage it with stimulants and your coffee and you're using a different type of energy, that will affect your heart long term, and that's what causes CEOs. I have a talk I do, it's called The Anatomy of a CEO. That's what causes a CEO to have a heart attack. Is the hyperactivity aspect that drives your energy, and you're addicted to that cortisol stimulation, which suppresses and affects your heart. We're going to go over that. And remember, where you find great talents is usually where you find great challenges. So when you see ultra-successful people, a lot of times there's a lot of anxiety, there's a lot of anxiousness, there's a lot of stuff that goes along with that because they're ultra-successful in one aspect of their life, in other aspects of their life kind of suffer. So what I've done in my life is I've identified my personal, my relationship with my kids, my relationship with my family, my wife, my health, in not just moving business forward, but moving it all forward with a very important thing called structure. And you need to be conscious of all aspects of your life, which is what we're going to be building here in the next 5 weeks, and understand what areas you want to improve. And trust me, there are people in your life that are bringing you down. There are people that you surround yourself with. You're like the five people you surround yourself with most. We're going to have a, it's called the doorman principle. You're a doorman in your life. You've got to let people in, but you need to be conscious to say, hey, buddy, we love you, we respect you, but you got to get out. So we need to be very, 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 very protective of our energy. Because there will be people that will attach onto your energy and drain you. And you'll fight to stay above water, and that causes issues in the long term. So we'll be talking about that a little bit later. Does that make sense to everybody? All right. So the three fundamentals that we're going to be kind of going into during this program is neural efficiencies, neural integrated movements, and metabolic shift. What neural efficiencies are creating efficiencies in the brain. So what I mean by that is when you take a top and you spin it, when that top spins, the faster that top goes, the more focused it is. Well, the faster your brain works, the more focused it is. We need your brain to be hardwired to be more efficient. So there are things through diet, there are things through exercise and things through adjustments that we can do to start improving the function of those efficiencies in your brain to speed them up. Neural integrated movements, that's where we come with the balance in exercise, hand-eye coordination. Whether you are an adult or you are a child, you're talking about working with a child, we want these exercises to be cross-dominant exercises, hand-eye coordination exercises. We want to challenge balance, our vestibular system, which we're going to go into here in a second. And then we want, you know, hand, like juggling, hand-eye coordination. What I did to take, because I obviously have ADD, and I was trying so hard to work with this balance, and I got really good at the wobble board, I ended up getting a unicycle. And try, if you want to challenge your balance, try to get a unicycle. I almost freaking killed myself. But, you know, being able to use a unicycle, being able to work on balance, I can now ride my mountain bike, hit my brakes, and sit on my bike and not even put my feet down. Because it's so important for development of the brain to work on balance. And I have so many people that come back to me and they're like, oh, yeah, a wobble board. Oh, my God, those things are easy. I work on those all the time. And I put them on the one that we have, and they can't even stand on it. They're like, oh, my God, this one's so hard. I'm like, yeah, because you're on a BOSU ball. It's easy to balance on that. I'm not talking about balance for muscle development. I'm talking about balance for brain development. They're two different categories. Balance for building muscles in a more well-rounded way is different than balance for changing the brain neurology. And we're going to go into that when we have our exercise discussion. And then the metabolic shift. This, to me, is, even when I gave this talk 5 years, five years ago, and then I gave it again, but when I had this whole program, the information that's out now from where I was before is totally different. So in your pamphlets, you'll see notes coming. It's because it's all changed. And what we know now is this whole state of ketosis, and we're going to be having a talk on brain fuel in coconut oil and MCT oil and bulletproof stuff, and you know how important fat is to our diet and how detrimental sugar, carbohydrates, and over-proteinating our diet is. A lot of people love these protein drinks. They're okay, but we're getting too much protein into our system. So we talk about those. So now, the neural efficiencies. Let's talk about this for a second, okay? Improved performance of the central nervous system. That's what we need to do. So this is, how many people, did I draw the brain for somebody in there and tell you about prefrontal cortex? There's a way better drawing than I could ever do. So this right here is called the cerebellum, okay? Now, this portion of the brain is, now let's talk about this. This is the prefrontal cortex. This portion of the brain is where our ability to think is. Whenever you think, you're typically looking down. When people are thinking, they're looking down. When they're remembering, they're looking up. So when you go to remember, you ever try to remember and you're looking up? When you're thinking and trying to solve a problem, you usually look down. Pretty interesting, because it's a way that the blood's going to this part of your brain, right, when you're thinking. When you're remembering, it's going to this part of your brain. That's why it's important to sleep on your back. There's a whole host of things with that. But so when we're looking at prefrontal cortex, this is where our thinking is, okay? And this is where our brakes are. This is our prefrontal cortex. This is where our executive functioning is. Our ability to drop something and not walk by it, go back and pick it up. That's the brakes I'm talking about. The vermis, it's in the back part of the brain. Its main, one of the main functions is to build the prefrontal cortex. So its job is in prefrontal cortex development, one of them. Well, then we have to say, what builds the vermis? Because if our goal is to build the vermis, because the vermis improves prefrontal cortex function, what builds the vermis is proprioception. Proprioception is your awareness in space. It's balance. in 80% of all proprioceptive signals in the body come from where, do you think? The spine. That is why the adjustment plays such a critical role in ADHD. So I might have made the statement, I can, with just the adjustment alone, allow somebody to focus more efficiently. With just adjusting. Because what I'm doing is I'm improving, I'm increasing signals into the vermis, and then that's building the prefrontal cortex. With just a frequent adjustment schedule. You stop adjusting, the body will resort back to where it was. That is why I'm trying to have people go through this process right now. I mean, it's I want people to come through this program first so they understand what the heck is happening.
What about children, though?
Children, the same thing.
Even an adolescent that's still growing?
An adolescent. Without it, yes. Yep. So by just adjusting that child, they will focus more. Yep. But they could, remember, I should say this. Just by adjusting the child's got to build the vermis and build the prefrontal cortex. If they still want to poop wherever they want to poop, they're going to poop wherever they want to poop. So the dog, unless trained with structure, that's why so without the structure, everything falls apart. You can still have a more focused, you can have a more unfocused, focused child. Does that make sense? Yeah. So let's say...
Just because they're kids, they're mature enough?
Exactly, yes, because they just don't have some of the developmental issues that have already happened in the brain. They don't have...
The brain
change. The brakes, they don't know the structural boundaries. So they're focused, but they'll be focused more in school and stuff, but they'll still be defiant, they'll still have all those other issues. It's a growing up thing. Yes, it's a kid thing. If the why isn't big enough, the what doesn't matter. What that means is a child, they don't have a direction. Right? Some kids do, but we're talking depending on where we are. So they could be more focused driving west, but if they don't know where they're going, they'll be more focused going Route 1. Then going 95, then going over here. If they have direction, that's why the structure becomes very important. And the adjustment improves the vermis, neurological pillars, atlas, sacral alignments, neural movements. This is the right and the left part of the brain. Typically, when you're looking at somebody with, let's say, executive functioning disorder and hyperactivity, they typically have a right brain weakness. They're usually right brain dominant as far as their creative and stuff like that, but their right brain is usually underdeveloped. And when you're looking at the right and left portion of your brain, in the middle, the connection of these two is called the corpus callosum. So what becomes extremely important is for us to get that balance, but also for us to get that cross-dominance. How do I explain? All right, so fully lateralized would be I'm right-handed, I'm right-footed, I'm right-eyed, and I'm right-ear dominant. Okay? That's typical, that's called fully lateralized. Somebody, and happens more about 80 to 90% of the time, but a child or an adult with ADD is cross-dominant. So they're right-handed, they multidextrous, they kick with their right foot, they do hockey this way, but they can do hockey this way. You know, they have this cross-dominance that's going on. So picture a filing cabinet that isn't in alphabetical order. So a filing cabinet that's in their alphabetical order, it takes a lot more for your brain to be able to understand what the heck is going on there. So it's not all, okay, let's go to the M's, let's go to the O's. So what we need to do is we need to build this corpus callosum so the right and the left side of the brain talk. That's why juggling is a real good thing to do. Racquetball, sports, and things that rely on that hand-eye coordination, that dominance. And then also another thing that's really good to do, once we determine what side of the brain is weak, you listen to, I guess still remember, the ear auditory, is that the same side or opposite side? Yeah, so if we're right brain weakness, we would listen to, I still have to look that up. I can't remember if the auditory one. I'd have to look that up. But you can, I was just talking to somebody about this recently, and I get messed up on this, part of my dyslexia. But you can listen to headphones in one ear to build the connection to the other side of the brain. I'll find out more. I'll find out that one. I haven't used that one in a long time. I just remembered they said, yeah, we can you use auditory stimulation. I don't use it. So I'm going to start building that in my own life too. Did you find that out, Doc? All right. And then but specific exercises will build that corpus callosum in that in the middle part of that brain, and then these just kind of goes over this stuff goes over the right brain weakness, left brain weakness. I'm going to send you guys will have all of this. Okay. Physical pillars, balance, coordination, proprioception, meditation, and relaxation. If you notice in the back, the last class, we're going to be talking about meditation and relaxation. You guys are going to be getting a 90-day diet. So it's going to be what to eat, what not to eat. It's going to have smoothie recipes in it. It's going to have it's a pretty big. Big book, and it's going to have what to eat, what not to eat. So there's going to be other adjuncts that we're going to be adding to this. I just don't have that. So our last class is a meditation relaxation. The gym has just been built next door, and the yoga room is finished. So we're going to be having up there with our yoga instructor. That's going to be that helps me with Lifestyle U. But that will we'll be having the handouts, and those things will be added to the packet too. Metabolic shift, and this right here is going to be extremely important down the when we have our nutrition talk. I think this will probably be where some of the biggest transformations will be for you guys, is understanding that the GI tract, the connection between the GI tract and the brain, that connection is significantly underestimated or underappreciated in our current medical paradigm. So when anybody comes in with skin issues, when anybody comes in with focus issues, when anybody comes in with irritable bowel issues, you always look at the GI tract. Always look at the GI tract. And you got to look at probiotics. You got to look at how much sugar is in that person's diet. If that person's under severe anxiety, that digestive system shut down. So then you look at the x-rays and you see gas and bloating through the GI tract. And they're like, oh yeah, no, I'm super, super tired. You can run on adrenaline until your adrenal glands get so fatigued that you get adrenal failure. Right? So running on adrenaline is like go, 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 go. And that's what we as ADD groups and peoples and kids do. They run on adrenaline and they suppress all of these other systems. And the digestive system and the immune system are two of the big ones that get suppressed. So let me explain. We have two different systems in our body. We have sympathetic systems, these over here where you're running from a tiger. Okay? If you're running from a tiger, you need your cardiovascular system, you need your respiratory system, you need your musculoskeletal system, right? So your body doesn't care about your immune system if you're running from a tiger, right? Has anybody ever been sick and then exercised and it felt great and then like a couple hours later they feel like they're dead? That's because you said to the body, listen, hell with my immune system. I'm going to exercise this thing out of me. And then you exercise and you feel really good because you're over here and you suppressed that. And then you crashed, right? We have this thing in our brains where we use these resources that aren't accurate. But when you have the principle that when you're always running from a tiger, and it doesn't matter, you're gonna find out next week in Biology of Belief, whether you're running from a tiger chemically, as your body, or you think you're running from a tiger, your body physiologically will adapt the same way. And that, to me, when I found that out, was a mind shift. What that means is, it doesn't matter if you're running from a tiger or your body thinks you are, you're going to suppress all of your parasympathetic systems over here, which are digestive system, immune system, reproductive system. All of these systems get suppressed. And what that does over a long period of time, you're burning a candle, your factory's blowing up, blowing, boom. You get a heart attack. Right? That's where the anatomy of the CEO came from, is we're always living in this unbalanced life of over here. And then you even talk about over here, and they're like, yeah. No, I don't have time for that. And that's the biggest thing I hear. No time for that. And we are going to be spending some time on time and understanding what is time. You have enough time in your life to do what you need to do. Do you want to know what I did this afternoon? Took an hour nap. I had no time to take an hour nap. Right? None whatsoever. The reason why I did is I have it built into my schedule in specific days, if I need to have that time to take a nap. And I used it because last night I went out. I'm going to this 80s party this weekend. It was at the Salvation Army. I got this rock star clothes. My buddy's like, anybody out? I met him at Red's and I had a beer. And then I went home, and when you have alcohol, you don't sleep well. You think you sleep well, but you don't get into REM sleep. And if you don't get into REM sleep, you don't sleep well. So I wouldn't have been the best I could have been tonight on focus, on point, and been sharp if I was fatigued and tired. So it's not fair to anybody. Nobody wants a low energetic dweeb chiropractor working on them. Nobody wants that. All right, Doc? Nobody does. So nobody cares about your problems, first of all. How you doing? You don't want to know how I'm doing. You don't, because if I told you how I was doing, it doesn't matter. I'm doing great. And every time somebody asks me, I'm doing great, because ultimately I am. What people want is people really care about connecting, right? And your energy is super important to protect. It is the thing that you have to protect. There are going to be leeches that want to suck on your energy. You know what people tell me? You can't be this good. You're never this good. Are you always this good? Because nobody's good. So sometimes when I go into a room because I know somebody's severely depressed, how you doing? Listen, you don't want to know how I'm doing. It's more about you. Because I don't want to tell people how I'm doing because they're going to want to bring me down. Right? You got to be protective of that energy. And the person in life that doesn't just drive, and is conscious, lives consciously about the direction and the purpose, the direction, the compass's purpose, we'll explain that next week, and has a direction or a point B, you will be a machine to that point. And you need a point B with this, with your relationship with your wife, with your relationship with your kids. You want to be a mentor. They're looking at you. They look at everything. Everything. It's amazing of what people surround yourself with. So there's an exercise that we do in Lifestyle University. You're welcome to do it here. Is I have everybody in Lifestyle U send out an email to everybody saying, I'm going through this personal development course. You know, what would you say my strongest attributes are? What would you say my strengths are? You write down your strengths, right, as far as what you think, and you see if that's what you're putting out there. Because what you're living in your mind could be different of how other people are perceiving you. That's why what I want to do is I want you guys to work on your eulogy, right? Work on when you, and it might be something too morbid for some of you, so I have a side project that you can do. But work on the fact that when you close your eyes and you see yourself at the end, and your wife, your daughter, your cousin, whoever is sitting up there saying, wow, you know, Nick was a great guy, loved his family, you know, he was funny, and he is a guy that always didn't care. He wasn't always at work, you know, he recognized that leisure time was a valid, you know, thing to do, and spent time, and he was well balanced. So those things, if we don't think about how we want to be remembered by, we're just going to be remembered by our common denominator of us pushing ourselves through some life, right? Oh my God, he was always at work. He was a machine, and he made a whole bunch of money, and that's probably not a great representation of kind of where we're going. But, you know, what is your definition of success? What do you want your legacy to be? And how do you want your kids to remember you by? Or how do you want the people that you leave behind to remember you? That's one. So I have a second request that you do. I only want you to do this for an hour, okay? You can do and or. If you get one of them done, that's all I really want you to do. But if you're a super achiever, I think this one would be good. I talked about this one at the beginning. This all helps us with our next class, because next class we're going to be talking about purpose and our direction. So in order to do this, don't do it in front of a TV. Don't do it while people are running around. Put yourself in a room, close the door, lie down on a bed, and think. You got to start knowing how to get into your own head. And you don't even have to write it all down first. Just lie down for 10 minutes. That's it. In 10 minutes, think about it. And then start writing down. I read this book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. Okay? Actually, I listened to it because I can't read. Reading just drives me crazy. This guy, if you ever want just an inspiring book or audio, I loved it. I totally connected with it. But what he said is, when you're trying to write a book, which I am right now, you don't just get this inspiration and then write. You start a process, and then the inspiration comes. So you lie down on the bed, and you start thinking. Then you start clearing your brain, you start thinking. And then what I want you to think about is this. I want you to think about right now where you are, if you're 40, if you're 50, if you're 20. If I was 10 years old, what I've learned in life right now, am I where I want to be? What do I wish I did? Where do I wish I was? Do I wish I went on that rock climbing adventure with all my friends when they went? Or what do you wish you did? Or if you have done everything the same thing, you wish you went to UMass Amherst and you went to Harvard, or you wish you went to Harvard and you went to UMass Amherst, whatever it is, what direction would you give yourself as a teenager to say, you know, listen, never be a financial advisor. You know, you should be a movie star. Yes. Where is there some other place that you would want to be? So now you are where you are. So you have a little paragraph on, this would be the information I would have said. Now you are what you are. Now with planning for a new direction B, what would you would like to say at your end when you are on your deathbed talking to... So now the future you is now talking back to you saying, hey, listen, bud, your family's really important, okay? Work is very important, but you're out of balance here. Or, oh my God, your family, you think your family's way too important. You got to start working, you know? Or, man, what are you doing? Why don't you exercise? Your body, you know, I'm sitting here in a wheelchair because, you know, I have diabetes. Just make some better decisions. Why do you drink Coke every day? You know, so understand, and who really does this stuff very well is Deepak Chopra on the fields of limitless possibilities. We live in every field of all possibilities. The only thing that's limiting us to our possibilities is our brain. And that's the issue with somebody with ADD, because when you first start out as a child, you believe that the world is your oyster. And then as your brain is becoming limited by, no, you can't do that. Oh, what? Come on. You think you can't be president? Don't even aspire to that. And now you're being narrow. You're being streamlined by other people's limiting beliefs. That's where my anxiety came from. Is somebody saying, oh, you can't. Oh, my God. Don't do that. This is how people do it. You can't do it this way. And culture defines who you are. You don't define yourself because we don't live life consciously. So in this next 5 weeks, we are going to explore how we build the structure in our framework through introspective thinking. And then we're going to use that introspective thinking into introspective parenting. And we're not going to let them say know that, oh yeah, oh my God, this is why we're doing it. You need to do it this way, this way, this way. We do it subtly by asking questions, and it'll become a little bit more apparent. It'll become a little bit more apparent on how you utilize the parenting aspect as we kind of go through this a little bit more. But so, two homework assignments, if you choose to. If the first one's too morbid for you and you don't want to think about, you know, when you're dead, how people remember you, but write your eulogy, just a paragraph on your eulogy, and then write a little paragraph on what you wish you told yourself when you were 10, and then what you would tell yourself now when you were 90. You know, do you see what I'm saying? Because that will then start to get you to unravel when we talk about what your purpose is, because when we go into biology belief, we're going to start talking about purpose, and your purpose is your compass. So without direction, you're all over the place. Purpose keeps you on track. That's your point B. So your purpose is where you're heading. So my purpose is, I'm a person of passion. I remove interference and connect people to the energy of their creator. I stand for manifesting healthy lifestyle habits to help people maximize their true life potential. It took about $30,000 in personal coaching to get that statement. But I'm going to give you a sentence. You're going to fill that in. And you're going to come up with your own purpose. You're going to work on that purpose, and it will constantly evolve. The purpose of this practice, what the entity of this practice is, and why the feel of this practice is different than a chiropractic practice, is because our purpose and our mission is to, and it just changed. It used to be one thing, and we changed it, when did we change it? 3 weeks ago. Because it's constantly in evolution, because I had an epiphany of just something through meditation. And so the purpose of the practice is to create the healthiest tribe of people on planet Earth. So in doing that, I want to create, and the reason why you chose tribe is very critical, and why the whole planet is very critical, but it's through education. I want to create a consciousness of people, and that's why Atlantis was developed. Atlantis literally means Island of Atlas, which, anybody ever read the book Atlas Shrugged? Well, Atlas in the body is the top bone, and that's holding up your brain. Atlas holding up the world. Atlas Shrugged, at the end of Atlas Shrugged was a place called Atlantis, where people pulled themselves out of a failing culture, and they created their new culture for themselves, where everybody is held responsible for their own actions, and nobody lives on the fruit of another person. And it was just this culture that I really, Ayn Rand wrote it, and I just really connected with it. So when we were developing Atlantis, Atlantis represents this place where it's a different resource for people to think differently about things, and to connect people under the common thread of communication and education, trying to change the way people think about health and wellness. And we started this campaign called Choices, where we're creating the healthiest tribe on planet Earth, one choice at a time. And Choices is a Facebook live series that I do the last Thursday of every month, which is next Thursday. I'm going to be talking about allergies. I do it live. The last one, over 5,000 people watched. And the first one we did it is, we had 700 people. We did it at Whole Foods. And now, 5,000 people watch. I'm just super, I want hundreds of thousands of people to watch these things, because it's just going to start getting people to think differently. And that is this, getting people to think differently about the gift of having ADD or an executive function disorder or autism, because all brain stuff. So we're good. We're done. Anybody have any questions?
I have a quick question.
And anybody that needs to leave can leave, and I'll just stick around for questions.
I have a 20-year-old.